Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Today we're going to talk about the importance of water as it relates to learning. I thought I would invite my Gettysburg puppeteers to share the audio version of their show on the topic of water. This is brought to you in part by a grant from Adventist Whole Health Network, and we certainly appreciate their commitment to young people and their efforts to educate them on health. So sit back and relax as we listen to the show.
Welcome, everyone. Now we're going to talk about the W in New Start, water. Did you know that so many different types of systems in your body need water, and yet it is one of the most neglected health habits of all?
Yay, it's me. I've been waiting for such a long time.
Well, we had to talk about nutrition.
Yay, it's nutrition. Nutrition is very important.
Then we had to talk about exercise.
See, I'm spry. Because I exercise, I can do this, I can do that.
Both of these healthy habits are important, but now we're going to talk about water.
Water. Hear the tiny raindrops patter on the rooftops. The raindrops fall with a pitter, pitter, pat. A pitter, pitter, pat, a pitter, pitter, pat. The raindrops fall with a pitter, pitter, pat, a pitter, pitter.
Yes, water. The rain is important to water the crops, but humans need to drink water too. And we have Dr. Brainiac to explain that.
Did you know that your brain is mostly made of water? Drinking water helps you think, focus, and concentrate.
Did you know drinking water raises your metabolism?
Well, drinking enough water boosts your energy levels. I can do this, and I can do that.
Drinking enough water improves your skin and makes you beautiful.
That's why you don't have any wrinkles.
Apart from air, water is the most important element. The scriptures refer to Jesus as the water of life. Remember the story of the woman at the well?
Yes, and Jesus told her that he had the kind of water that she'd never be thirsty again.
Such a fundamental need, and yet every time we take a drink of water, we can think of Jesus, the water of life.
There's water, water of life. Jesus gives us the water of life. There's water.
To sing anymore. We need to finish our topic of water on a serious note.
Water is an essential constituent of the protoplasm of living cells because it is directly involved in countless biochemical reactions like respiration. Without water, cells couldn't move waste and byproducts, take in nutrients, and perform intercellular transportation like functioning and signaling.
I don't like to drink water, so I drink soda pops.
Soda pop? Do you realize there is 1/4 cup of sugar in every 12-ounce can of soda pop?
No worries. I drink diet soda pops.
What is wrong with your head?
Don't you know what diet soda does to your brain?
Dude, does it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt! Is not an answer.
Okay, it's true. It gives me headaches.
That's because the brain uses sugar for fuel and not that fake stuff.
You shouldn't do that to your brain.
So your head doesn't hurt.
Okay, my head hurts. You're making it hurt.
Someone's getting a little defensive.
You think your head hurts. It doesn't hurt near as much as my heart. Chronic dehydration is the biggest contributor to heart disease.
I hope our lesson on water is not lost in all this blobbity blah.
We're sorry.
I'm not sorry. I never joined in with them in their blobbity blah. I seriously want everyone to consider drinking water for their health. The next time you get a headache, try drinking some water first before taking that pain pill.
Or, if you want to lose a little weight, drink some water.
Or if you feel tired, drink water.
In other words, 8 glasses of water a day to stay alive, 10 glasses of water a day to thrive.
Cells, cells, are made of organelles. If you don't drink water, it won't work very well. Cells, cells, are made of organelles. If you don't drink water, it won't work very well. Cells, cells, are made of organelles. If you don't drink water, it won't work very well. Cells, cells, are made of organelles. If you don't drink water, it won't work very well.
Thank you, young people, for your performance.
Do you remember the first time that you were in water or played with water?
I think for most of us, of course, the first time we were in water was probably in vitro. You know, we are birthed in water, but we don't remember those experiences. But I remember as a child sitting in a sink taking a bath. And that is my very first memories with water.
Same with me, too. Mom put me in the sink, and I splashed it everywhere.
There is something about water in that little infant. They love water, and they're learning so much just in that experience of being bathed. They're learning about the properties of water. How it moves and or doesn't move. It's there, but yet it's not there. Their hands can pass through it. It's a really cool liquid, gas, solid. Water can be all of those things. You know, one moment it's a liquid in the cup, and then if you put it in the freezer, it becomes frozen. And I have students who will just beg to go outside with a cup of water and put leaves and rocks in it and then put it in the freezer and come back later and look at their beautiful frozen creations. We just have grown up with that relationship with water.
Yeah, but we're talking now about the water in our bodies. How was water used in your education?
So we don't have a whole lot of research on how water helps our bodies learn, but we do know that our brain is mainly made up of water, as the kids pointed out in their puppet show, and that if we become dehydrated, our thinking is impacted because our brains don't have the fluid that it needs to help the neurons connect and the synapses and all of the things that make up that marvelous thing called our brain. And if we don't feel good, if a student doesn't feel good, they do not function as well.
Do you think the fear of water is learned or inherited?
There is a lot of speculation on that topic. Most of us probably can remember near drowning experiences. I know I've had them. My children had them where they fell in and we grabbed them out in the nick of time. Or, you know, small children can drown in a very small amount of water, just in a very small amount of water. You have to always be so cautious around water. As beautiful as it is, you have to teach children at an early age to be careful and to respect it. But I really think that it is somewhat learned from if our parents are afraid of water. I remember my brother swimming and putting their face under the water, and I was deathly afraid to do that. And my parents just continuously giving me opportunity, you know, going to the lake to swim or going to a swimming pool, and everybody's swimming, and I'm just on the edge there, you know, wading with my feet and then putting a life jacket on me, and I would not put my trust, my weight into that life jacket. And so now we're adults, you and I, and I see that fear where you don't want to trust your weight in the life jacket.
Yeah, because I swim like a rock straight to the bottom.
Which brings me to a little story. So we went to Taiwan, and we went to this, I like to call it Turtle Island because I've never learned to pronounce the island's name. But they wanted us to go snorkeling, and I didn't want you to be left out. So we both got life jackets. And then when we got out to the water, you put on your life jacket, and I put on you my life jacket. Because you're quite dense.
In more ways than one.
your body mass is made up of muscle, which is much heavier than fat. And so
it actually took both of them to keep me above water. Yes, it did.
Yes. And that way you got to look in the water and see the things that I was seeing. It was a wonderful shared experience.
I'll tell you another thing. Shave your mustache off before you go. Because it doesn't let your mask seal. I had a hard time with the water getting in my nose because of my mustache.
Yeah, you had to like press that so hard against your face. I mean, it took me a while, too. Everyone else was doing it, and my mask was fogging up, and I wanted to do it so bad. And eventually, I got to the point where I actually swam with the sea turtles. That was phenomenal.
We saw sea turtles. We saw all kinds of fish there. We saw crabs running around there feeding off the plankton or whatever they eat off of there. And it was quite an eye-opening experience. It was just amazing. Even though I was scared to death part of it, I sure was glad I went.
I think as important as it is for children not to be fearful of water, they really do need to learn to have a healthy respect of water.
How does the water help your body in our new start? We talk about water is one of the things you need. How does that work why do you have to drink water? Why can't you just drink soda? Why can't you just drink grape juice? Why can't you just drink something else? Makes water so valuable?
Well, I think God, first of all, designed our bodies to be predominantly water. And so we always need to be replenishing that. And that's why we work at trying to have as pure water as possible, because we need what water gives more than any other liquid. No other liquid matches what water gives us. Water gives us, it's a great internal solvent. It's also a great external solvent. Water is known as the best solvent in the whole wide world.
But isn't the one fluid that's more absorbable by your body than anything else you drink is water, isn't it?
Absolutely, because everything else that you take in, especially soda, your kidneys have to work at filtering out all of the additives and things that your body doesn't need to get whatever water out of it that it can get.
And get rid of all the other junk that you don't need that was in there.
You know, as long as I've lived now and I've watched how water works. You know, I've had family members who did not like to drink water, and it didn't matter how much we stressed that they should drink water. They would rather drink juice, anything besides water. And they eventually, in their older age, you know, they might have lived past their 70 years, but they died of kidney failure because their kidneys had to process all of those impurities and things that go with juices and pop and soda pop and things like that. So water is absolutely essential, and it's essential to learning. Well, we're going to be taking a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about things that you can do with your young children and with your older children that helps them learn by being in water. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us,
go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with my executive producer, Michael Gamblin, and we're talking about water and learning. Prior to the show, we talked about some of our own personal experiences with water. And
well, what are some of the ways that you use water in your learning and teaching?
Well, with very young children, just pouring water on their arms and hands help them develop muscles. Have you ever just maybe been at a waterfall and you put your hands under the water and you feel the pressure of that water?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, pouring water on their hands or letting them pour on it, giving them a water table. Now, a water table is such a cool thing, but it is messy. We always put tarps down because the water is being poured from cup to cup or jug to cup or through sieves or through funnels, and water gets everywhere. But the learning that takes place, we feel, is more valuable than the mess that it takes to clean up afterwards. So just pouring water on hands and arms helps them develop muscles. And I think it's a type of vestibular exercise. I know we talked about that in a previous show, but water pouring on your head and on your arms and hands and just bathing in general gets those lymphs activated and your lymph nodes open up, and that helps your immune system. So we need water.
Well, that water table also can be used in a mathematical way too, teaching you a weight and measures and that kind of things too, can it?
It does. There's this one experiment where they take a tall glass and fill it with water and a shorter glass, but it's rounder, and actually both glasses have the same amount of volume of water in it.
Yeah, so it teaches you, you just can't look at something and say, oh, this is so many cups, and you actually have to figure.
Yes, it really helps them. Wow, you know, just because something is shorter doesn't mean it's smaller than something that's taller. Whereas kids tend to think
that it holds less.
Yes.
Something smaller, it doesn't hold as much as the taller one does. Yes. So it teaches you a spatial, mm-hmm. proportional. I mean, you can throw math in there. You can throw reasoning in there, logic, several different things that you incorporates without even thinking about it.
Right. And parents who help their children with, you know, maybe even calculating in the metric system, liter, deciliters, centiliters, or kiloliters, you know, that all has to do with measuring liquid. And that helps then, because we tend to get our soda now comes in 2-liter bottles. It's about the only thing that has really tried to stick with the metric system. And I often start there when I'm beginning to teach the metric system. I'll start with something that the students know, and they know a 2-liter bottle of soda pop. Another thing that we use water for is helping students learn about displacement. For example, we give them tin foil, and they have to see how many pennies or how many paper clips. They take that one sheet of tinfoil, and if you just crumple it up, it just sinks right to the bottom of a pan of water or tub of water. You know, you have to have the water deep enough. But if they take that tinfoil and make it in the shape of a boat, they can load a lot of pennies on top of that, and it doesn't sink. Why is that?
That always amazed me. I'd see these super liners or these big ships holding these containers, hundreds and thousands of hundreds of tons of weight floating. It makes absolutely no sense, but it's how you learn about displacement.
That's right. That's right. So water, not only drinking pure water, helps students learn better, achieve more, helps their immune systems to flourish. And of course, if you're feeling better, you're willing to work harder at your schoolwork. So it just makes sense that water helps not only the overall health, but it helps you learn better.
It's a very good cleansing agent in your body. Doesn't it take all the different impurities out through the kidneys and you get rid of it that way too?
Yes. And unfortunately, nowadays, we have certain medications, especially if a child has epilepsy or some other anomaly with the brain, that medication goes directly to the brain to help subdue the seizures or whatever they're going through. But it leaves an ash, and drinking, that child should even drink more water.
To help flush it out.
Yes. I have just a few students in my school, relatively speaking, so I can do this. I can have water breaks after every single subject. So in addition to going outside for scheduled recesses, we have water breaks. And the water break really helps improve learning. I mean, I might not have a whole lot of research articles on it, but they are there. But I know just from my empirical research that when I remember to go around and fill their water jugs or, you know, their glasses. I don't have open glasses, but I have they each can have a water bottle.
They're sippy bottles.
Yeah. They each can have a water bottle when I fill them and remind them too. Because you have those students who go, well, I'm not used to drinking water. Well, get used to it. And I'll even do this. A student's struggling over a certain concept. I'll go, let's just take a water break right now. You know, let's just take a water break right now. And just we sit back and I'll drink from my water bottle. They can drink from theirs. And then when we go back again, it's like, oh, I get it. It's just, you know, it's, I'm sure, psychological, but it has that release, that effect of, okay, let's just take a breath. Let's just step back a moment, and then we'll look at it again with fresh eyes. And so that's what we do. So water and learning, to me, is tied together. I have no doubt in my mind.
Well, what's that verse about? Jesus says he's the water of life.
Yes. And the water of life, if you can tie that in, whenever your child takes a drink of water, they'll remember that Jesus is the water of life. And I think that as we were working on the puppet show of water, there's water, water of life. Jesus gives us the water of life. There's water, water of life. Jesus gives us the water of life. As the kids were learning that song, they were remembering again how important water is. And I hope that as they go through life, they'll, you know, taking a drink of that water, swimming in the water, bathing in the water, they'll realize that, you know, we're in enemy-occupied territory right now. Someday we're going to be with Jesus Christ. And with that, we're going to close the show. We have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.